Moreover, his liberalization of censorship had provided an opportunity for renewed ethnic protest against Moscow in the Baltics, in Lithuania, in Latvia, Estonia, in Ukraine, and elsewhere, reviving the old nationalities problem that had been such a difficult matter for the Tsarist Empire. Dealing with the Eastern satellite states of the Soviet Union would also be particularly difficult. How does one liberalize the Soviet regime at home and maintain a secure defense posture in Eastern Europe? That would prove to be impossible. Over the decades since the close of the Second World War, a pattern of revolt and repression had taken shape in Eastern Europe. In 1953, workers in East Berlin had rebelled against the Soviet presence there. Their uprising had been brutally repressed by Soviet tanks. In 1956, a similar rebellion in Hungary had been brutally crushed once again by Soviet intervention. In 1968, the so-called Prague Spring, the loosening of the restrictions on freedom in Czechoslovakia under Alexander Dubček, who had coined the phrase socialism with a human face, seemed to offer the possibility of genuine reform in Eastern Europe, but that attempt at reform wasn't an uprising, wasn't a rebellion, was also suppressed by the Soviets, provoking the enunciation of the so-called Brezhnev Doctrine. Poland would also be a source of difficulty for the Soviets, beginning in 1970 when a first mass wave of strikes had occurred, prompting some reforms, but not genuine economic recovery. Poland would remain a source of potential trouble for the Soviets throughout the 70s into the 80s, certainly. A new wave of strikes in 1980 in the Gdansk shipyards led by Lech Walesa would prompt the Polish authorities under General Jaruzelski to declare martial law in 1981. But the emergence of Solidarity, the Polish labor union, beginning there on the docks in Gdansk, formerly the city of Danzig, would provide relentless pressure, apply relentless pressure to the Jaruzelski government in Poland, pressing for change, pressing for recognition of the right to strike, pressing for union representation, pressing for the legal recognition of Solidarity as an independent labor organization. When Solidarity called for new elections and continued political agitation in 1982, the Jaruzelski government declared it illegal. But Solidarity and Lech Walesa would be heard from again. Gorbachev's policies after 1985 would set off a chain reaction in the satellite states, particularly in 1989, changing this pattern of revolt and repression in a decisive way. In July 1989, Gorbachev clearly signaled that he rejected the Brezhnev Doctrine. No longer was the Soviet Union going to promise to intervene to prop up unpopular communist regimes in Eastern Europe. It simply couldn't do it. It couldn't afford it. And it made Gorbachev believe no ideological sense. Reform was the key. Timely reform, rather than the presence of Soviet tanks in Eastern Europe. Almost instantly, opposition groups and reform-minded officials who were very adept at reading between the lines and interpreting Gorbachevian statements. They'd lived for a generation interpreting Soviet pronouncements, trying to understand exactly what they meant, but they understood what Gorbachev was indicating about the Brezhnev Doctrine. These reform-minded officials in Poland, in Hungary, challenged now the existing regimes. In Poland, strikes and demonstrations against the government in 1987 had led to renewed negotiations between Solidarity and Jaruzelski, which ended in relatively free elections being held in 1989. In those elections, the communists found themselves humiliated and the government was forced to accept a non-communist as premier. Absolutely unthinkable before the advent of Mikhail Gorbachev.